Quick distinction between me and Frank. While Frank was a football player, I was actually a baseball player. And for those of you that know me very well or have known me for a long time, you've heard this story before, but I was actually the very first person to try out for the Florida Marlins. And what gives me distinction against Frank is I didn't have an injury to prevent me from playing professional baseball. It was a serious and profound lack of talent. So I'm here to give you guys a little bit of background about the Jack Spencer Award. First off, the award was established in 1999 to recognize excellence, commitment, and leadership in the development, implementation, and support of science-based STD prevention program services. As our collective discipline continues to evolve, especially in an era of diminishing resources, our approaches to addressing challenges must be scientific, evidence-based, innovative, flexible, and just as important, very adaptable to real-world situations. Therefore, in the past 9 years, we've delivered or provided this award to 4 recipients. And of course, the first one was the namesake, Jack Spencer, who was recognized for his 30-plus years of commitment to STD prevention services around the country. The second awardee was John Potterat, who was recognized for his leadership in social network services. And many of you guys remember Marty Goldberg from a few years back, where we recognized him for all of his efforts, his dogged determination, in fact, to develop and implement the Philadelphia Chlamydia Screening School-Based Program. And Sefke tells me that he spent a good bit of time hounding her on the importance of mathematical modeling. And the last person I think everybody in the room is going to recognize is someone I'm going to I've asked to come up and actually present this year's award, Susan Delisle, who is the current holder of the Jack Spencer Award, and she's going to present the next awardee. Susan.
Well, it's a great honor to be able to be the current title holder, so to speak, and to announce the next title holder. And so I know everyone's like, you know, waiting with bated breath for this. It's sort of like the Academy Awards. And so the winner of the 2008 Jack Spencer Award is Dorothy Gunter. Most of you know Dorothy, but for those of you who did not, let me just fill you in that on December 23rd this past year, Dorothy suddenly died of a ruptured brain aneurysm. It is particularly bittersweet for me because Dorothy was my friend first and my colleague second. And as I was thinking about the many things I might say to you about Dorothy, I started to write all of these accomplishments because I really want to honor Dorothy for her work and to do justice in conveying to you who Dorothy was as a human being. But as I read the words from the nomination itself, And as I read the CDC blog that was established so that people could talk about Dorothy's work, I realized that there could be no greater tribute than to share some excerpts of these words with all of you so that we could all honor Dorothy's work and her life together. I'll be quick, and we have someone very special here to receive the award on Dorothy's behalf. Dorothy's 22-year career in public health spans work in the nonprofit sector, academia, and for the past 17 years at CDC in the Division of STD Prevention, Reproductive Health, and in the Division of HIV/AIDS Prevention. Dorothy devoted her professional life to being a champion for women's reproductive health, always advocating an integrated approach, whether she was focused on family planning, STD prevention, or HIV prevention. She began her career at Planned Parenthood of Alabama, where she developed education and information programs, provided patient education and counseling, and served as a project director for the educational outreach in Mobile, Alabama. I could go on and on about Dorothy as she joined CDC in 1990, and you know, talk about her CDC career. But that's not really the point. Dorothy received numerous awards in recognition of her work, and although she made great contributions in all of her professional positions, perhaps her signature work was in the infertility prevention program. Drawing on her extensive experience in women's healthcare issues, and I would add, her extraordinary passion and commitment for this topic, she provided energetic and inspirational leadership and led the program to new levels of visibility and impact. The consummate collaborator, Dorothy worked closely with colleagues everywhere, across federal agencies, across program disciplines, across programs themselves. She had a remarkable ability to bring people from diverse backgrounds together in pursuit of a common goal and to rapidly build trusting and collaborative relationships. She also had a great appreciation of the integral link between prevention science and the delivery of public health that sometimes, and the services, and was tremendously effective at helping bridge the gaps in language and culture that sometimes exist between those of us who work primarily in building the science. She could lead from the front, as well as organize and I would say, and push from the back. However, she was at her best when she knew there was everything to know about a situation, my editorializing, and there's nobody who could figure out more about a situation than Dorothy, because she was just the opposite of just the facts, ma'am. From the CDC blog, a couple of snippets I wanted to provide you. I first met Dorothy when she came to work with us in the Program Development and Support Branch in the Division of STD Prevention. Dorothy just hit the ground running, full speed ahead, and I quietly wondered, what kind of fireball had Susan Delisle hired? I got to know the real Dorothy when I worked closely with her from 2002 through June 2005 on the Infertility Prevention Program. I will miss her infectious laugh and those smiling eyes. Another snippet. Joyful laughter, true friendship, honest feedback, a job well done beyond expectations. Those are just a few of the things you could count on from Dorothy Gunter. Dorothy was a gift to all of us who knew her and to young women and their health all across the country. Her impact will continue for years to come on everyone who knew her personally and on the thousands who never met her. Another snippet, no disrespect intended, but Dorothy never struck me as a rest in peace kind of woman. I prefer to think of her continuing the path she took here on Earth, raising hell while trying to make the world a better place, all the while keeping everyone laughing. Another one. Everyone mentions how she made them laugh, which is the absolute truth. But she also put herself out there time and time again on the issues that were important to her. She was devoted to women's health and to sexual health. She knew her issues both from a scientific and a personal perspective, and she was committed to making the best possible prevention practices available to all. She would work her way through the bureaucracy, which she hated, in order to make quality care a reality. She'll be remembered for her personal connections with people, her love for her family, including the 4 indoor cats and the 1 outdoor cat, and her perseverance and commitment to public health. Dorothy made an impression on people. Dorothy listened, and Dorothy cared. I could go on with some of these snippets. And let me just end with one here. You could depend on Dorothy for 2 things in my experience. She would make you laugh, and she would speak truth to power. You could count on Dorothy to make you smile, but Dorothy wasn't just fun and silly. She had a spine of steel. In meetings with management, which sometimes were meetings with me, you could always count on Dorothy to say publicly what everyone else was thinking but too afraid to say. And often, though, the laugh and truth occurred together, smoothing out the tension. And in a public meeting not this long ago, when challenging Dr. Kevin Fenton on something he said, she turned to the whole room and said, "Can I get a whoop whoop from people out here?" And so, the lives of us who had the privilege of working with Dorothy are forever enriched by the experience. Her sharp mind and quick wit were tools used well to teach, to probe, to learn, and to lead. She had passion for her work and infectious enthusiasm for bringing people together to solve difficult problems. She left us and her work way too soon. And we honor her work and her memory with this award. And on behalf of Jack Spencer and the Division of STD Prevention, I would like to present the Jack Spencer Award to my friend and Dorothy's husband, Andy Floyd.
Two years ago, when Susan accepted this award, she reminded everyone that the public and public health is people. And I'd like to remind you all of that, too. The framework for that is not only the consumers of public health, but the providers of public health are people. Were Dorothy able to be here to accept this award, she'd tell you how honored she is to be thought of in the same company as Susan DeLisle and Jack Spencer. She'd also be very quick to point out to you that none of what she accomplished was done in a vacuum, and it wasn't done individually. She received a lot of help and support over the years. Since Dorothy's passing in December, I've received that same kind of help from a lot of the same people, and I'd like to thank you. it would be very seductive to look at the arc of Dorothy's career and her achievements and say, she made it look so easy. She got everything she ever wanted. But that wouldn't be true. At times, there were job announcements that she was really excited about, looking forward to applying for. And then when she found out some of the people who had already applied, she withheld her application because, in her viewpoint, it was someone else's turn. The other thing that prevented her from getting a couple of positions is probably the only professional knock I've ever heard against Dorothy. Twice, word came back to her unofficially that she hadn't been chosen for a position because it was assumed that she had no street-level experience. In other words, she hadn't come up as a surveillance cowboy. That hurt Dorothy, but I don't think that she ever addressed those claims. But being one of the keepers of her memory, I'd like to address them now. In the early 1980s, when Dorothy was earning her MPH in Alabama, she worked to help pay for her education the same way she had done with her undergrad. She was a contractor for a company called Westat. She was working on a cervical cancer study. Her territory was the entire Southeast. This was one of the earliest studies that questioned whether cervical cancer might be sexually transmitted. The women that she interviewed for this study had two things in common. They had all been diagnosed with cervical cancer, and they'd all been diagnosed very late. Each time Dorothy returned from a trip, I could sense the emotional price that she had paid for speaking with this woman who she knew were dying. One particular trip to central Alabama turned into a two-day trip. When she came back, she was sad but very excited. She told me about a woman she had met and the bond that they had developed. Dorothy described her in the generous terms she always applied to everyone. She said she was beautiful, and that despite her advanced stage of illness, she looked much younger than her years. This woman had a presence. Bear with me for a moment. Dorothy had stayed an extra day there with her to spend time outside of work with her. And they had made arrangements to meet in the future, but unfortunately the woman didn't live long enough for that to happen. Later in the day, when she was finishing her paperwork for the study, she showed me a file. She said she had gotten to the last part of the survey, which was a sexual history. And the woman had excused herself. Dorothy was afraid that she'd offended her. But then the lady came back and gave her a file and said, "I thought you might need this." The file was a list of names and contact numbers for about 250 of this woman's most regular clients. She then explained to Dorothy that after the early death of her husband, she had become an escort. And so Dorothy and her co-workers then were given the task of contacting all of these partners to give them the survey as well. So my question for you is, Dorothy Gunner, cowboy or not, Dorothy and I both subscribe to the idea that important people, people who leave a mark, usually die in threes. The one we always laughed about was Mother Teresa, Lady Diana, and Burgess Meredith. We never could figure out what the commonality was between those three. Several nights ago, I was curious and Googled people who'd passed away on December 23rd to see who shared the date with Dorothy. After some searching, I think I found her pair. Oscar Peterson, the Brown Bomber of Boogie Woogie, an acclaimed jazz pianist, and Michael Kidd, an award-winning choreographer whose credits include Guys and Dolls, Can Can, and Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. So picture this: Dorothy, a choreographer, and a pianist, and I said pianist, enter the afterlife together. How long do you think it took that to turn into the biggest celebration of life? I'd like to leave you, if I'm able, with some lines from the Rime of the Ancient Mariner. He prayeth well who loveth well both man and bird and beast. He prayeth well who loveth best all things, both great and small. For the dear God who loveth us, he made and loveth all. Thank you for this acknowledgement of life spent in the pursuit of health and happiness and laughter for everyone.